Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please, did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to Galatians chapter 2, and we're going to do our best to expound verses 16 through 21. Now, I need your attention right up here, and here we go. And I've entitled this evening's message, "We Are Justified by Faith." We are justified by faith. Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your goodness, and we thank you for your grace. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and we praise you in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And so, my friends, this picks up in chapter 2, and we're going to see clearly that Paul reiterates many times that we are justified by faith. You see, my friends, the law pointed us to the cross. The law pointed out our sin. The law showed us that we deserve death. But I'm here to let you know, Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly. Have you thought to yourself during any time of your salvation that prior to being saved, God didn't stamp us out? God did not crush us. God did not destroy us. But because you and I have been elected and chosen before the foundation of the world, He's the one that quickened us. He's the one that brought us into a covenant relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is by faith through Jesus Christ we have been justified. Justification means just as if we've never sinned. Praise God. Praise God. So buckle your seatbelts. We're going to go for a ride, and we're going to expound these next few verses, and we're going to ask God, hallelujah, to give us ears to hear and eyes to see. Amen. So let's get going here, and here we go. Verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be what? Justified. Praise God. Praise God. Now, verse 17, But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? No, he's not. Certainly not. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law died to the law that I might what? Live to God. Okay, we're going to see all this. We're going to break this all down. Verse 20 and 21. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ, what? Died in vain. Wow. Wow. Okay. So here we go. We're going to conclude chapter 2, starting with verse 16. And it reads, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be what? Justified. Praise God. Now, Paul wrote to many regions and that area as he journeyed. You see, Paul was an apostle that was sent out. And look what he wrote to the Roman church regarding this issue at hand. Let's read this right now in Romans 3:20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Wow. Did you catch that, saints? Now, he also writes in Romans 3:20 through 24. Look at this. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Look at this. 22 through 24. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is what? In Christ Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. You see, saints, all people stand as condemned sinners before God. You see, God-fearing, law-keeping Jews and Gentile sinners alike, all of us are clumped in. But, my friends, all are made right with God, not by doing what the law commands, but by the faith in Jesus Christ. This is the doctrine of justification, meaning just as if you and I never sinned. Praise God. You see, my friends, God justifies people despite their guilt, and he pardons them. And then he makes them his children and heirs. We are the heirs of the King. Hallelujah. And saints of God, the law to which he was referring could mean the Jewish scriptures, plus the laws added by the Pharisees. Wow. Now, if people could be saved by obeying the law, then Christ did not have to die. Can I get an amen? But, saints of God, the reality is no one will ever be saved by obeying the law. Praise God, praise God. I want you to catch this scripture right here. Look at this in Romans 8, 1 through 4. Therefore, look at this. There is therefore now no condemnation. Say that with me at home. No condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free, what? From the law of sin and death. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Look at this. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Wow, wow, saints of God. Listen, what that means is, now that we've been born again, filled with the Holy Spirit of promise, we got the power and the anointing of God. Now we can walk in the Spirit despite of our sinful flesh, because flesh cannot be saved. The Bible says flesh and blood cannot enter into the kingdom of God. It is our soul and spirit that will be transformed and translated when Jesus comes for his church. Praise God. And then he's going to reunite our soul, our spirit, with a brand new body, a body that will live forever, a body that will be right next to the Lord Jesus Christ. And guess what? We'll be able to see him face to face. We will not disintegrate. Remember, when Moses was on Mount Sinai, God told him specifically, do not look at me, for the day you look at me, you will die. Why? Because the glory of God, the brightness of God, would have destroyed him. He had to turn away. But we, hallelujah, in this dispensation, in this time of grace, God is going to give us a body just like the Lord Jesus Christ, and we'll be able to contain all the glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. So let's move now to verse 17 in Galatians chapter 2. Let's go. It says, But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found what? Sinners. Is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. See, Paul answers that rhetorical question. Certainly not. You see, saints, in this verse, Paul responds to one objection that might be raised by his opponents. They might say this. Let's look at this right up here. They may say this. What if we seek to be made right with God through faith in Christ and then find out that we are still sinners? That's a good question, isn't it? That's a really good question. Here's another one. Has Christ led us into sin? Well, Paul obviously says, not so. Not so. You see, saints, how could Paul claim that justification by faith is effective when Christians still sin? You ever wondered that? Well, it's simple. We still live in a sinful body that has not been delivered. You see, when we gave our heart to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, we repented, the blood covered us and washed us from the sin. Now God's Holy Spirit lives in us. Praise God. And now we can breathe, we can move in His total being. That's amazing. It's a miracle in itself. But this fleshly body will not go into heaven. We'll need the new one. Praise God. So, saints, Paul went on further to say that the law doesn't matter. It's to say that the standards and morality don't matter. Oh, no, no, no. This leaves the door open for people to become believers and then live any way they choose. And that is not so. But Paul's reply is vehement. Of course not. Sin does not result because people are justified. Christ is not responsible for promoting sin. I hope you know that, saints of God. And obviously those who have been justified, which Christians, can and do sin, for that unfortunately is part of our human nature. Paul details his own struggle with sin throughout the book of Romans. Oh, that's right. Look what he wrote here in Romans chapter 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not, what, have known sin except through the law. For I would have not known covetousness unless the law had said, you shall not, what, covet. Look at this in verse 8 through 10. But sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desire. For apart from the law, sin was dead. Look at verse 9. I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment, which was to bring life, I found to bring death. Wow, did you catch that, saints? Did you catch all that? You see, but the sin led to the need for justification, not the other way around. You see, the law came and pointed out that we deserve death. You see, the law was good. The law pointed us to the cross. You see, without the cross, we would be dead men walking. But because of God's grace, He sent the Lord Jesus Christ to die for our sins once and for all. And when He died on the cross and He said, "It is finished," that means the gates of hell can no longer prevail. Praise God. And that you and I have a hope, a lively hope to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus came to save and seek those which were lost. You and I, we were lost without a cause. Many of us were bound to drugs and alcohol. Many of us were bound to pornography. Many of us were bound to anger and calamity and all these things. We were in mischief. Many of us were incarcerated. Many of us lived a life of debauchery. But God, before the foundation of the world, chose and elected you and I that one day He would come and draw us out of darkness into His marvelous light. God now has established our faith, hallelujah, our position in Christ. We are the children of the Most High God. We are now called royalty, a royal priesthood. We have all the inheritance that Jesus Christ has given us, the born-again church, the bride of Christ. And soon and very soon, Jesus is coming for you and I. Praise God. You see, when God the Father now looks down on this earth, and when He sees you and I, He doesn't see our sin. He doesn't see our past. The Bible says that our sins have been tossed from the farthest to the east, to the farthest to the west, and He remembers your sin no more. But when He looks down, praise God, what He does see, He sees the blood. He sees the blood that was covered, hallelujah, our sin. And God bless you, Lord. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for saving a wretch like me. Why? Because I did not deserve this great salvation. You did not deserve this great salvation. But God chose you despite of ourselves. Hallelujah. And now we have a lively hope, a hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we can now press toward the prize and the call in Christ Jesus. We can go out now in the highways and the byways and seek out those, hallelujah, through the power of the Holy Spirit to lay hands on the sick and watch them recover, to prophesy, to speak a word of encouragement, to speak a word, hallelujah. God will give you all the gifts of the Spirit through the power of the Holy Spirit, a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, praise God, a spirit of helps, praise God, and God will bridle our tongue. Thank you, Jesus. God will bridle our tongue that we would speak to edify and never to tear down, praise God. You see, saints, it was the Judaizers that saw Christianity as an excuse to get out from under the Jewish law. But Paul and the Jewish Christians who had experienced justification knew that while offering freedom from the restrictive law, justification by faith demanded lifestyle and behavioral changes, praise God. And when God truly gets hold of a life, saints of God, nothing can remain the same. Can I get an amen in the house? Something has to change. Things that we once were involved in are broken off. He sets the captive free. We were bound at one time, and now God has delivered us. Now we have the freedom. When we were bound up first, we could not worship Him. We didn't have a mind for God. But when He set us free, He destroyed the chains of bondage that Satan had all over us. And now we can freely worship the King and praise Him and glorify His name. For at one time we did not have a mouth to praise Him. We didn't have a mind to praise Him. But now God has changed the circumstances in your life and my life. Praise God. Now we can glorify Him and magnify Him and lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ on high and let this dying world know that what He has done for us, He can do it for you. Come on, give God a shout of praise and glory in the house. Somebody needs to give Him all the glory. Hallelujah. Give God a shout of praise right now. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. You see, saints, grace does not abolish the law with its standards and morality. Rather, it moves it from an external standard impossible to keep in an inner motivation for living a pure and God-honoring life. You see, my friends, God did it all. He prepared it for you and I, that we would walk in His grace. We would walk in His mercy, that we would love Him with our whole heart, soul, and mind. Praise God. Praise God. Now, let's move on to verse 18. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. Did you catch that? In other words, what he's saying is, why do we want to go back to our own vomit? The Bible says it's like a dog lapping it back up. You see, saints, justification by faith tore down the Pharisees' merit system with all its laws and good deeds that attempted to rack up points with God. You see, my friends, to rebuild that, to be justified by faith and then return to that legal system as a basis for one's relationship with God would erroneously imply that Christ's death was not sufficient. You see, Paul saw the situation in Antioch with Peter as a clear illustration of the unnecessary burden that some wanted to place on the Gentile believers. You see, my friends, Peter, through his act of pulling away from the Gentile fellowship, was giving law a place of authority that it no longer held. You see, justified people, unfortunately, will sin, but they are moving forward and onward and upward. Can I get an amen? The real sinner is the one who is justified and then returns to the law. You see that? They go back. Ironically, that person is actually guilty and probably never been saved. You see, my friends, people under the law are more precisely described as lawbreakers than as law keepers. You see, my friends, the law cannot give salvation because no one can keep it perfectly. The Bible says if you broke one of the 614 laws, you've broken them all. Praise God. You see, my friends, the best the law can do is prove our sinfulness and how much we need the Savior and His gracious offer of justification by faith. Praise God. Praise God. So let's move on to our next verse. In verse 19, for I through the law died to the law that I might what? Live to God. Praise God. Praise God. See, this was the mindset that Paul understood clearly. You see, saints of God, the law itself could not save. Why? Because no one can keep its perfect standards. The law thus cannot earn God's approval. Instead, it offers only failure and death because we could never live up perfectly to the law of God. It's impossible. So what is its usefulness? Well, my friends, the law was a necessary instrument to show people the ultimate futility of trying to live up to God's standards on their own. And so, but that, my friends, that very hopelessness created by the law can have a positive impact if it leads a person to the true hope of Christ Himself. You see, that's what Paul needed. He needed to see the law for what it was, that he could not keep those standards. You see, as a Pharisee before he got saved, he made all kinds of mistakes, but because he was a Pharisee, he thought he was perfect and he was above everybody else until God got a hold of his heart. And when God gets a hold of us, when God humbles us, we see now through the lens of God that you and I, we were nothing until Christ came and saved us. You see, my friends, Christ took upon himself that death penalty and the death we deserved for being lawbreakers. He took it all. And when Paul understood that the law was completely incapable of giving salvation, and when he embraced the one who could give salvation, he knew he could never go back to the law. Paul felt this so intensely that he expressed it in terms of death. He says, I died to the law. My question to you, saints of God, are you learning to die to self, dying so that Christ may live in us? Praise God. Because when we learn to die to self, then God, who has taken up residence, will be magnified and glorified. And you'll be walking in the Spirit, walking in the power of the anointing. God will use you wherever you go. God will use your voice. God will use your praise. God will use, hallelujah, everything about what the Holy Spirit's about. He wants to use your vessel to glorify Him. Can I get an amen in the house? You see, my friends, the perfect tense of the verb indicates something that happened in the past, but influences the present. Paul died to the law by being crucified with Christ. You see, my friends, Christ completely fulfilled the law, past tense, and this act influenced Paul in the present tense, who, as an imperfect human, could not keep the law. None of us could. Yet, because of Christ's death, the law no longer had a hold on either of them. The cross of Christ shows that although the law had to be kept, it was fulfilled by a perfect human. And that perfect human was the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ paid sin's penalty for imperfect humans, which is you and I. Being crucified with Christ refers to the conversion experience, a once and for all transaction that has ongoing results. Can I get an amen in the house? You see, my friends, Paul knew he had to die to the law before he could live for God. And there could be no middle ground, saints of God. It makes no sense to accept salvation by faith and then work for it, just as it makes no sense to accept a gift and then offer the giver money for it. No, a gift is a gift. There should be nothing in return. When you give away a gift, there should be no strings attached. God has freely given us salvation. There's no strings attached. Why? Because it's already forever settled in heaven. We're written in the book of life. Praise God. You and I are heaven bound, and now there's a hell to shun. Praise God. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody got to give God a shout of praise, knowing what he's done for us. We are the redeemed. We are the ones that God called out of darkness into his marvelous light. And you need to wake up every morning feeling justified, feeling saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, water baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. You see, my friends, we must deny that our own efforts can accomplish anything in order to be able to humbly accept the gift that Christ offers. You see, my friends, by identifying with Christ, we can experience freedom from the law that he procured for us by dying on our behalf. Praise God. Praise God. So now, let's move on to verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave what? Himself for me. Praise God. Praise God. Did you catch that? He gave himself for me. Wow. This is the love of God. This is the grace of God. This is God's mercy, saints. You see, Paul claimed he had been crucified, but he was still alive. Paul had died with Christ, but it was his old self that had died. I myself no longer live, he said. The self-centered Jewish Pharisee, Christian, persecuting, law-abiding, violent, and evil Paul no longer lived, praise God, because he was Saul of Tarsus. Then came Paul the apostle. And that person's sinful life had been crucified with Christ on the cross. Praise God, praise God. Look, he points this out in the book of Romans. Look at this. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for what? The ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ what? Died for us. Look at this. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. I need you to catch that for a moment. Did you just read that? One of the purposes that God saved us is for the wrath of God that's coming to this earth. And God supernaturally chose each and every one of us. It was the election and God who chose us before the foundation of the world. You see, we don't know who are his children. You just need to understand your relationship with him. You know that you are saved, sanctified, and Holy Ghost filled. God came to save us from the wrath that's coming. This is why, my friends, don't miss Sunday night at 6 o'clock. I'm going to be putting on Pastor Mark Biltz, who's going to let us know what time it is. We need to know what time it is because things are happening fast, faster than ever. And we're going to look through the Hebraic lens and the Hebrew calendar to actually see what time it is. Praise God. Let's go back to the word right up here. Look at this. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we should be saved by his what? His life. Look at this. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God, our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received what? Reconciliation. You see, my friends, God reconciled us back to the Father by the cross. At one time, when we came into this world, we were thrust out of our mother's womb. We were rebels without a cause. Oh, that's right. The moment we start walking, we're walking away from God. It is God who pursues us. It is God that chases us down. It is God that quickens us and gives us the unction to turn to him and to be saved. It's all God and God alone. And then once he gets our attention, he gives us our mind to choose him. And many of us choose him, praise God. Why? Because he gives us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to us. Praise God. You see, saints, Paul was released not only from the tyranny of the Mosaic law, but also from the tyranny of self. Instead, Paul was a new person, praise God, because he explained Christ lives in me. In other words, Paul had turned over his life to the Lord Jesus Christ, praise God. Look what he wrote to the Corinthians right here. Look at this. In 2 Corinthians 5, 17 and 18. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of what? Reconciliation. Praise God. Praise God. You see, saints, each of the phrases is a crucial aspect of the sequence of salvation. And we relinquish our old life and turn to Christ for his new life. And the self-centered self now becomes the Christ-centered self. It is as if Paul was saying, my old life and my old goals and plans, even old relationships, were nailed to the cross with Christ. You see, my friends, Paul went on to say, now I have a new life because Christ came in and filled the empty spaces of all those old pursuits that could not be filled by these worldly means. Now he lives in me, the hope of glory, and it is the focus of his life. It should be the focus of our life. Can I get an amen, saints of God? And to accomplish this, there must be a radical cleansing of our old self and selfish nature. That's right. But there must also be a turning to the empowering of Christ. And just as in repentance, we turn away from sin and toward Christ, we must turn from the self in the flesh to the self hidden, to be self hidden in Christ. Praise God, praise God, praise God. You see, my friends, Paul no longer focused his life on trying to please God by obeying laws. Instead, with Christ in him, the hope of glory, he says, I live my life in this entire earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Praise God. You see, my friends, believers live in their bodies that are prone to sin. You and I are prone to sin. And while they remain on earth here, but with Christ in charge of our lives now, they are new creations, living life by faith. And this faith isn't an attitude. It's a lifestyle. That's right. It's a lifestyle, not an attitude. Praise God. Praise God. And so, we're coming in for a close. We're going to look at our last verse of Scripture in Galatians chapter 2, and it's found in verse 21. And it reads, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Did you catch that, saints of God? Did you catch that? Look what Paul wrote here in the book of Romans. Romans 4:22. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. Look at this. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him and raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. You see, saints, Paul's message of salvation by faith without works of the law did not treat the grace of God as meaningless. Instead, that is exactly what the Judaizers' teaching did, and they set aside and they try to nullify the grace of God. But see, my friends, if we could be saved by keeping the law, then the logical conclusion is that there was no need for Christ to die. However, saints of God, it was because no one could obey God's law perfectly that Christ came to both obey it and to fulfill its penalty. Jesus did it. And then he set aside as a means to salvation for you and I. That was the ultimate picture of God's love and grace for sinful humanity, my friends. And the basis of Christianity is God's grace and Christ's death for sin. And without these, my friends, there is no faith, no gospel, and no hope of salvation. Wow, my friends. I'm here to let you know that soon and very soon, Jesus is about to return. Listen, that conference we were in, it was so prophetic. It was all about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we're at the brink of it now. This is not a time to throw in the towel. This is not a time to give up, my friends. This is a time to press toward the prize and the call in Christ Jesus. Jesus is soon to return, my friends, and God is going to have his perfect way. Why is God coming? To deliver us from the wrath of God that's going to be poured out. I truly believe we won't be here for the 7-year tribulation. And after you see Sunday night, Mark Bilt's teaching, you're going to have a clear understanding of what time it is on the prophetic clock. That's right. Not our watch, not the Gregorian calendar, but on the Hebrew biblical calendar. Oh, that's right. And so Jesus is coming again. He's coming again. And Paul wrote to the Thessalonian church. Look at this. He wrote this in 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18. But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. That means that have died in the faith. Lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. But we do have hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Look at this. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. Look at this. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Look at this. Then we who are alive and remain shall be what? Caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus, we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, frighten one another with these words. No! Comfort one another with these words. My friends, the next greatest event that's going to take place is going to shock the world. It's going to shock the cancel culture. It's going to shock the left. It's going to shock the unbelieving world. It's going to shock the entire world when Jesus comes and takes his bride home. You see, billions of born-again Christians around this world will be gone in the twinkling of an eye. And that's when they're going to be in such panic. That's when the Antichrist will show his face, and all the people that are left behind will follow that man, ultimately to maybe even their death. Saints, we're that close. We're that close, my friends. Look, Paul wrote right here, to the Corinthian church. Look what he wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, 50 through 54. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? Changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised, what? Incorruptible. And we shall be what? Changed. Look at this. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Wow. Wow, my friends. It's all going to take place soon and very soon. But I'm crying out to those who have logged in. Maybe you've been logged on every time we go on. And maybe, just maybe, you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. You never repented from your sins. You never asked God to wash you in His blood. And maybe you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit of promise. My friends, what are you waiting for? Because when Jesus comes and you have not truly surrendered to God and you have not been washed in the blood, what you're about to see, please don't let this happen to you. Let's look at this.
Jesus Christ is coming back for His church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming. I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month, or He might come next week, or He could even come...
My friends, that's always going to be the million-dollar question. Are you ready? Are you ready to give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ? The only way to get into heaven, a heart must repent. It must acknowledge that you have sinned before a holy God. You must cry out and ask for mercy and for forgiveness and ask God to truly save you. The very first sermon ever preached in the New Testament was given to the Apostle Peter. And that prayer, that statement, that edified many on the Feast of Pentecost. And the Bible says later on, 3,000 got saved. That's right. Here is the key scripture for you. If you've never given your heart to Jesus, let's look at this right here. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins. Remission means forgiveness. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift is eternal life. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. Wow, that's it. That's it right there, my friends. That's it in a nutshell. Praise God. Praise God. Listen, my friends, I'm here to let you know that you too can receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. All you got to do is invite Him in. Ask God to forgive you. Ask God to cleanse you. Ask God to give you a new life like He's given us. And all you have to do is come by faith. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's logged in to pray with me so that I can pray for you. And maybe, just maybe, this is the first time you've given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. And watch God do the miraculous in your life. Bow your heart and your head with me and pray this simple prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Come on. Give God a shout of praise and glory. Give God a shout in the house. Hallelujah. Someone just got saved. And if that's you, listen, down below is our website. How about logging on and reach out to us? We want to give you a Bible. We want to pray with you. We want to lead you to a good church that'll teach the unadulterated Word of God and start you on in your journey. Oh, that's right. It's never too late to jump on board, because that train is already bound and ready to go to heaven. Praise God. Praise God. And so, my friends, we're just so blessed to be back from this wonderful, wonderful prophetic conference at Perry Stone. And so this Sunday at 10 a.m., I'm going to share with, and it coincides with one of the speakers that took place to me just to even get to Sister Linda's house that first day we got into Tennessee. I'll explain how it all developed. And then Sunday night at 6, we're going to put on Mark Biltz from El Shaddai Ministry from that conference. He had everyone on the edge of their seat. So, my friends, on behalf of Sister Yolanda and the Amazing Grace family, we want to say thank you. Thank you for all that you've been doing for Amazing Grace. Down below, you guys have been such a huge blessings. Donations are deeply appreciated, and we thank you for continually supporting our ministry. And so allow me to leave the benediction so that we can have a restful night this evening and look forward to seeing you back on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. And so it goes just like this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his shalom, his peace, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. So, my friends, it's time to say goodnight, and we love you guys. We can't wait to see you at 10 a.m. this Sunday morning at 5305 Sweetwater Road in beautiful Bonita. We love you. God bless you, and we'll see you Sunday morning. Bye-bye now.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.